and I include Vietnam in that. I think we're in for a very nasty 2019. I think what comes down the other side of that, then you can position yourself for 2020.
And listen up if you're in South Carolina or maybe have a friend in South Carolina. The winner of the $1.4 billion lottery jackpot in South Carolina, where that winning ticket was sold, has yet to come forward, which also means the state could also be a big loser. The state already had plans for the estimated $61 million that the winner would be paying in state income taxes and other taxes. The deadline to claim that winning lottery ticket is 5 p.m. on April 19th. And finally, convicted drug lord Joaquin Guzman wants a new trial after one of the jurors who found him guilty said members of the jury ignored the judge's orders not to read media accounts of the case. Guzman's attorneys filed papers on Friday asking for a new trial. You can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. And the weather this afternoon is going to be sunny with a high near 39. Windy with a west wind around 24 to 28 miles an hour with gusts as high as 56 miles an hour. Tonight it'll be clear with a low around 19. West winds 10 to 18 miles an hour with gusts as high as 36 miles an hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 35 and northwest winds around 11 miles an hour. And Tuesday night it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 17. North winds 3 to 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, a slight chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 33. Light and variable winds, and the chances of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday night, the chances of snow, mostly cloudy with a low around 26, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. And Thursday, it'll be partly sunny, and there's no sense going any further because, you know, it's hard to tell what it'll be by that point. So welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Huntington County, we're all volunteers. No office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and I've been told that the commute from the kitchen to the dining room is great. No traffic, so unless you got a bunch of kids running around. But anyway, what we try to do is we try to help folks who have someone in their family or know someone, work with someone, friends with someone who have a mental health issue. We also try to help the person with a mental health issue get the care that they need. We do this in very various ways. I don't want to elaborate too much because our guest today will help us with some of it. But we do it through what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. In fact, it's going on right now on Saturdays at the Huntington Medical Center from 9 to 11:30. And it tries to, well, it goes over medications, side effects, etc. It tries to tell the person what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances, what to say, what not to say. It also tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. And it's very, very rewarding course. It's totally free. All the papers and everything, pamphlets, everything is free. We also run a support group the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And you don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the class, to go to the support group, anything like that. And if you have any questions or anything that you would like to ask or need some more information about, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have an operator man the phone 24/7, but we do have a wonderful woman who checks it at least 2 to 3 times a day, and we promise you we will get back to you as quickly as possible. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Meredith Mason Blount, who is the director of NAMI New Jersey, which is also the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Meredith, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it for taking the time, because I know you've got a busy schedule, and you know, to come and talk with us. Right. We try to, like we were talking earlier, been doing it since, 2011, so.
Great. It's a wonderful to get the word out, break down stigma.
Right, exactly. I want to start by asking you how you got involved with working with mental illness.
Well, when I started in college, I wanted to be a journalist. And so I had an internship, and I was writing all these articles. And so I did a research article on a homeless shelter. And when I went there and I started talking to people and hearing people's stories and what they went through, I realized that there's so much more behind the story. And I didn't want to just report on stories. I didn't want to just tell people what was going on. I wanted to get out and I wanted to help people. I wanted to be part of the solution, not just telling people what the issue is. I wanted to be part of what the change would be. So when I went back to school, I changed my major to sociology, and I really just got into social work, the area of helping others. And so in all of my work, it's really finding out what's the best way to help people. And with my own personal life, I am one in five that has someone in their life, in their lives, in their family, in their friends, who is affected by mental illness. So I have
I also.
And I think it's important that people know that, to break down that stigma. In my previous job, I actually was the director of the School Abuse Youth Services Program in New Brunswick. And that program, the main goal is to get students out of and through school to eventually graduate high school. And what we found in working with them is that there are so many areas that children need help in. And then that really led me into understanding mental illness on a more deeper level.
Right.
Beyond, just like what you were saying about the family-to-family class, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, you have to understand how it affects the individual and the entire family.
Yep.
So when you're working with someone and you see this little box, you really need to understand that mental health and mental illness affects not only the person in that box, but it affects their entire being, their entire family. So I guess it's a long way around the story working with mental illness, because you really have to understand that your mental wellness, and if you have a mental illness, it affects every part of your life.
Right.
Your individual, your family, your friends, and we need to get the word out there more that it's okay to talk about these things.
Yep.
It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not even really know, and that's where NAMI comes in. You might not even know what you don't know. And that's really why I love working with NAMI, is that we need to get the word out. We need to make sure people feel comfortable and sharing what they know, and that we can help each other. So it's a really important mission and goal, and that's kind of where I am.
I agree, and I think that the more famous, quote-unquote, people who come out, Bruce Springsteen just came out recently. He wrote a song called Depression, and after he wrote the song, he came out and said he suffers from depression. Buzz Aldrin, an astronaut, walked on a moon, and he credits his wife for getting him through the training because she made him take his meds every day, and he suffers from major depression.
And NAMI has a poster and a stamp campaign where we share that mental illness looks like very different things. So sometimes people are scared to say, I have a mental illness, I'm living with a mental illness, someone I know is living with a mental illness, because they're nervous of what that might mean. But what we want to say is that it affects everyone in different ways, in different places.
It does.
And it's okay to share that.
And it affects the family. It affects, like, my youngest son. We have, like I told you before, we have four kids, two boys, a girl, and a boy. And the youngest son has paranoid schizophrenia. And it affected his brothers. It affected his sister. His older brother took it like, I'm the older brother. I should have prevented this. And, how am I going to help him? And I would tell him, it's not your fault. It's a chemical imbalance of his brain. It's not your fault,
And that's one of the things we try to do with NAMI, is educate people. Because if someone were to, for example, God forbid, have a heart attack and fall on the ground, people would run to that person, call for help, ask for help in any sort of way. When someone is in a room and has an episode, they sometimes run away from that person. Mm-hmm. If right. someone in your family has a long-term illness like cancer or heart disease, you're more likely to get people to call and say, how are you? Can I drop right. off a lasagna? Can I bake you a cake? When you have someone in your family that is living with a mental illness, sometimes people are scared that they're going to say the wrong thing, so right. they don't say anything at all. And it's very isolating, and it's very alone when you feel like you're the only person who is experiencing this. You're the only one whose child is experiencing this. You're the only one whose family is going through this.
Right.
And that's where NAMI comes in. And one of our slogans is that you are not alone.
Alone.
Right. You are absolutely not alone. It feels very isolating in that moment, but it's so important that you reach out to NAMI to understand that you're not alone. There's others who right. are going through it or have gone through where you've been before and can help you through this time.
Former Governor Cody's wife was on the radio with me a couple of years back, and she had said how when she had cancer, everybody was going to bring meals over, you know, want to take her to the hospital, drive her to a doctor's appointments, yada, yada. When she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder and had a mental illness, nobody would go near her. It was like she was contagious. And, you know, it's just a shame that people feel that way. It's not catching. You're not going to catch, you know, my son didn't infect this whole family with mental illness. You know, it's just something that you have to accept. And, you know, like I said, it's just like you were saying about people come with cancer, you know, that's what she said. And it was like, you know, whoa, really? You know, that's, you know, and it just was, you know, shocking to me, you know. Because here's a woman who's, you know, very well known. I mean, she was the governor's wife, you know. And so it's, you know, very interesting, you know. And I just, so we know what NAMI stands for, but what is it?
NAMI was created by a group of family members around a kitchen table because of just what we're talking about. They were all affected by a loved one living with mental illness.
Right.
And they didn't know what to do or how to help each other. And so that's what NAMI is doing now. We are providing different classes and support groups and education opportunities so people can understand what mental illness is. Right. And then to support each other. So similar to what you're saying here, your son didn't infect the rest of the family. There is sometimes shame people feel, and especially from a parent perspective.
Right.
If my child has been diagnosed with a certain mental illness, what did I do wrong?
Right.
What did I do? I must have drank coffee while I was pregnant. I must have not
smoked
helped
or whatever.
Him enough.
Yeah. Right.
I yelled at him to clean up his room that day. You know, like all these things that you, as a parent, when your child is going through a tough time, you just automatically kind of take that on and say, what did I do?
Right.
And so what NAMI does is that the answer is easy, nothing.
Right.
You didn't do anything.
Right.
This is, you did not cause, you know, a cancer. You did not cause a mental illness. It is something that happens in the body. And so we try to bring people together around that, saying, let's understand what a mental illness is. Let's not be ashamed of what a mental illness is, because it is something that's happening in the body. It's,
right.
it's real.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, if you, it's like we said with a heart attack, if someone fell on the floor with a heart attack, you wouldn't look at them and say, suck it up, get up, try, you know, pull yourself
right.
together. You would help that person. And it's the same with a mental illness. So NAMI brings families together to educate them. With the one, our most famous and most well-loved class is called Family to Family, which you mentioned
right.
in your intro. And that's a 12-week course that takes family and friends of someone living with mental illness and teaches them about what is a mental illness and what are the biggest types of mental illnesses, and then what are the treatments, and then what does that look like. It really attempts to help families understand you have your child, your friend, your spouse, your parent who has a mental illness, and then you have the mental illness.
Right.
And you need to separate the two. You have an individual who you love and care for, and then you have an illness that may make them act, treat, talk, react differently than what they would normally
do. Right.
So it really helps families to take away that blame, to take away the stigma, the fear, the guilt, and be able to talk in a room and say, this is what I'm going through, and have people say, I understand. And there's something very empowering and also calming. And, you know, I've been to support groups where you go in there and you literally see people start to breathe. Like, they come in and they're clenched and they're upset.
Exactly.
And they start talking, and people are like, no, that my son went through that. Or that's
this
what
is what I did
said.
When that's, you know.
And then by the end of the group session, you see them actually, like, relax.
Bonding
and
relaxing, right.
It's so empowering to know that you're not alone.
Right.
And that's why NAMI is so important, because you're bringing people from different walks of life, different backgrounds, and you're bringing them together around the common goal of understanding mental illness.
Right.
And so we do that for the family-to-family class, where you learn specifically about what it is and how to separate your loved one from an illness.
Right.
Just like if someone, again, like go back to the heart attack, but if someone had a heart attack, you're not always going to be known as the person who had a heart attack. If, you know, if someone is living with a mental illness, they're not defined by what it is.
Right.
And so we also have family support groups. So
we're going to have to take a break, so we're going to come back to the family support group, all right?
Sounds
You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, I can talk. Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged today to have with us Meredith Mason Blount, who is the Executive Director of NAMI New Jersey. And we were talking before, and we talked about family to family. Now, you had started to mention another program?
Our family support groups, yes.
Right, okay. Would you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. Our family support groups, they're an opportunity for just what it says, for families to support each other. And it's such an amazing experience. Again, when you have someone who's going through an issue, not really sure what's happening, don't know where to go, come to a family support group. And there you'll find people who are going through what you're going through now.
Or have been through it.
Or have been through it. And can say, yes, my son went through that. Yes, my daughter has said that to me. And this is what we've done. And this is, and you get different perspectives. But the thing that I love about it is that you really understand at that moment that you're not alone.
Right.
You are not the only person on the planet who's ever experienced this. You can be in a community where people are there to help you. And there's something just so, I want to say just energy releasing. When you walk into a room and you don't have to say anything, but you can look around the table and know everyone knows exactly how you feel. And they're there to help you. And to have that, it's just, it's something that families tell us time and time again.
Right.
I've saved them.
Now, NAMI, also has a course called Basics. Would you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So our Family to Family program is a 12-week program that talks about mental illness and how it affects individuals and their loved ones. Basics has the same idea, and it's focused on parents of children who are basically under 18. And with that, that's another great program where families, when you have a child under 18, a lot of times what you hear is they're just a kid, they'll grow out of it, they're fine, or even to the other saying, like, oh, you need to, keep them and give them tougher guidelines and be tougher on them and things
right.
like that.
Right.
But when you're a parent of a child, that there's something not usual. There's something going on. And Basics is that opportunity to, even before you might have an official diagnosis, usually parents, once they start questioning, they're on the right path. You
right.
know your child, and you know when something is happening with your child. So Basics is a great opportunity for parents to, again, learn about it, but and listening to some of your past programs, to also talk about how to help, what to say, and then also sometimes what not to say.
Right.
And also things that not to do. And while everyone is well-meaning, it's good to go into a situation with some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel better equipped
right.
with what you're dealing with.
Right. And unfortunately, there are some families who don't get involved, or don't want to be involved. And, it's like, like you said, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like, back to work, do this, do that. And it's not that the person doesn't want to do that.
Right.
It's that they can't.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman call me not too awful long ago, and she said her daughter wouldn't get out of bed. And she pounded on her door, and the door was locked on from the inside, and, et cetera. And I says, well, what would you want her to do if she got out of bed? She says, well, I want her to get up and get dressed and take a shower. I said, and then what? Come downstairs, have breakfast, and then after breakfast, walk the dog. I said, okay. Don't knock on her door for a couple days. Leave her alone. About 3 days later, she called me back. She said, my daughter got up. I said, what did she do when she got up? She took a shower and got dressed. She came downstairs and ate. I said, well, what's she doing now? She's walking the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I says, well, your daughter wanted to get out of bed, but couldn't. What do you mean couldn't?
Emotionally,
she could not get out of bed and face the world.
Right.
Even just taking a shower and going down and eating breakfast and walking a dog, she couldn't do it.
Right.
Now she did it. Okay? So just sometimes just back off a little bit.
Right.
And
it's so important too, and that's a great story to explain to people both about the individual who's living with it, and also how it affects the family members.
Right.
And just for the families who are living that situation, it's one thing. But then if you're the neighbor of that person, to understand what they're going through, you're not looking for your child to get up and cure cancer the next day. She simply wanted her to get up,
right.
get dressed, and eat breakfast.
Right.
And that's the type of fear that our families are living with. That all I want to know is that you're okay. And it's hard when the illness is what's preventing them from sharing what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's what I think it's great for families to understand, that this is what families are going through. So you should reach out. It's okay to reach out and say, can I help you with something? Even to just come and sit with you or sit in the house
right.
to make sure that everything's okay so you can go out maybe and take a walk.
Right.
Whatever it is, we need to come together as a community and do that. And that's what we can do through NAMI.
Sure. And, parents, when they have a child,
they're not saying, oh, well, I got to make sure that, you know, we do this if he has mental illness. They're not thinking that. You know, they're thinking, oh, he's going to grow up and go to college and be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief or whatever, you know. And I know with us, my wife and I, when our son had his downfall, we didn't know what to do. We never heard of NAMI. We didn't even know what NAMI was, you know. And it was just one thing after another. And he was hospitalized for almost 3 years in a state hospital. And or two state hospitals, actually. It was Trenton Psych, and then Governor Whitman was in power at the time, and she said, if you have a mental health hospital in your county, you transfer to that hospital. So they transferred him from Trenton Psych to Hagedorn, okay. And he was up there for about 11 months then. But so all told, it was almost 3 years. But it just, he came out, and he was in and out of the hospital more times than we can count, you know. And now he's looked at by the medical center as a success story. All the doctors who knew him back then, who know him now, they call him a success story. He has his own apartment for about 7.5 years in Flemington. He takes his meds religiously because he's been taking meds since he's 5 because he's epileptic also. Mm-hmm. And he has, next month, yeah, March, it'll be 4 years he's working at BJ's. And, you know, and he volunteers one day a week at the hospital. So he's, you know, quote-unquote, their eyes a success story. But it was 20 years, you know. So
and that's what NAMI tries to give families to is hope.
Right.
You know, you don't know, and we don't say that this is the one treatment that works for everybody.
No.
It's individualized, and we recognize that sometimes the journey is longer for some than others. And sometimes there's different diagnoses you have to go through, different
right.
medications you might have to try. But there is hope.
Right.
And we don't want anyone
right.
to give up hope.
No.
It's the journey may not be easy, but that's why we're here. That's why NAMI's here, is to help.
And the
you
sad
that
part
journey.
With the medications is I may be able to take aspirin and you can't.
Right.
So what happens is there's people's bodies are so different in, you know, digesting these medications that the doctors will prescribe what has worked so well in the past may not work for that person, you know, but it may take 6 to 8 weeks for them, you know, to find out it doesn't work, you know. Or this medication where I know my son was on one, he's not on it anymore, but he was on one where he gained almost 50 pounds. Now, my son is 5'7", okay. It's about 160, so you put 50 pounds on him. Now, what about a young woman? Mm-hmm. You know, what about a teenage girl or early 20s or something who's going to put 50 pounds on? Is she going to want to take that medicine? Hell no, she's not going to want to take it. I wouldn't want to take it, you know. And so it's just, you know, the side effects of it is, you know, I mean, thank goodness he's now on medication that works well for him and he's happy. And, you know, he's even got an epileptic medication that, you know, works great. He hasn't had a seizure in almost 3 years. So, you know, that's a good thing, too. But, you know, it's trial and error. And that's unfortunate, you know, but that's the way it is,
yeah.
You know. And unfortunately, you know.
And that's just made me think of another pillar that NAMI has is around advocacy. And we mean advocacy on a lot of different levels. So we have, obviously, statewide advocacy, where we encourage family members to and individuals living with mental illness to go and speak to their local governments, their politicians about mental illness, about what it is and how we need
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we have hospitals funded, health insurance is aware of it, and we have parity. So there's statewide advocacy that we look at and work on, but also individual advocacy. And what I mean by that is, if you are an individual living with a mental illness, if you are taking care of an individual, you have the right to advocate for yourselves and go to the doctor and say,
right.
This is the medication you put me on, and it's I don't like it because of X, Y, and Z. This is what's happening. And make sure that you're heard, and make sure that your family member is heard, and that you have the information. A lot of times our families tell us that they want help for their loved one, but there's a fear there that they don't want someone to, you know, step in and then not keep them informed.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you're advocating with your family and getting the word to the doctors, the hospitals, what exactly is happening.
Right.
So
exactly.
NAMI helps teach people how to do that too, and not to be intimidated when you go into a big building with people with all these letters after their names and, you know, the white jackets and the things like that. You're allowed to advocate for yourself. And you have the right to say, this is what's happening to me. You need to understand me. And this is how we can work together.
And, you know, some of the other obstacles that people face who have mental health issues is the length of time to get to see a doctor.
Yes.
You know, I don't know about where NAMI is in East Brunswick, that county, but in Hunterdon, we're so shorthanded on psychiatrists, it's pathetic. Now, you get someone that comes out of a hospital where he's been regimentated and on medication, you know, at 2 o'clock, 3 or 5 o'clock, whatever, and has this regimentation and then comes out and can't see a doctor for a month or 5 weeks, and they go, I feel fine. I don't need this. And they stop the medication. And next thing you know, they crash. And they start all over again. And, you know, the cycle goes on again, you know. And so it's really sad, but that's a fact. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's, you know.
Yeah. And that's a problem across New Jersey is the low numbers of psychiatrists who are available.
Right.
And then even working with health insurance companies to get accurate lists of who's currently still in the state and who is currently practicing and taking that insurance, it gets very complicated. And that's something that NAMI New Jersey as an organization is one of our advocacy points, is to keep a tab on that and make sure that our families have the resources that they need. Because like you're saying, you need the resources. You need the doctors to connect you to what you need that's going to make you feel better.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the doctors don't take medication. I mean, don't take medication.
Insurance.
Don't take medical insurance. You know, and, you know, then the hourly rate is, like, outrageous. So you take someone who maybe doesn't have a job because they have this mental health problem. How are they going to afford this?
Right. It's a vicious cycle.
It is. And it's sad, you know. But it's something else that we have to work towards, you know, and try to overcome.
Absolutely.
You know, by, you said, going down to Trenton and talking to them. Mm-hmm. A while ago, people in power told me, Larry, do me a favor. Don't go down to Trenton. Don't speak for him. You'll set mental illness back 100 years if I go down there, because you just tell them, you know, and, you know, and not in a diplomatic way. You know, it's okay. You know.
Well, that's a great segue, because we have NAMI National has what we call signature programs.
Right.
And so one of the signature programs that they have is called SMARTS, and it's how to advocate. And so in New Jersey, we are starting to roll out SMARTS more widespread. And so what we're looking to do is take this program, and it teaches families how to advocate, how to tell their story.
Right.
Because while we can recite numbers and facts and figures, you know, 1 in 5 are affected by a mental illness, what really gets people's attention is the individual stories.
Right.
Is the real life experiences of family members and individuals with lived experience. And that's what makes the difference. So it is, you know, we'll be rolling out the SMARTS program statewide. We're putting things together to make sure it's effective. But we do encourage family members to reach out to their local politicians and share their story. Just say, hey, this is, mental illness is important to me, and let me tell you why.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, some politicians might not even know. You know, they, we've had a number of people. We've had a table at the State House this past year. And we had people come by and ask questions and didn't really realize how widespread mental illness is or that it affected as much. And then also what you have is a group of people that walk by the table, and then a couple minutes later, one of them comes back by themselves to have a private conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So just being that door and knowing that people can come to you, you have to start enabling people to share their stories so that politicians and local establishments and county governments understand that this is a problem that affects pretty much everybody. And it is important to keep the resources there.
And you know, the thing too is, like, this past year, 2018, we had a table at one of the schools, mm-hmm. not to mention which one, but we had a table there, and they were advocating mental health awareness. I can't tell you how many students came up to our table and said, oh, I know about NAMI. My mother has it. My sister has it. My uncle has it. My aunt has it, you know. And I was, like, shocked, you know, how many of them knew all about it, you know. And you stop and think, you know, like when my son got ill, I knew nothing. My wife and I knew nothing about it, you know. Right. And it was a long process to learn, you know, but wow, you know.
That's really heartening to hear, because that's where I think that's where NAMI is heading, and that's where we need to go, to break down stigmas and to make sure that this conversation is just a regular conversation,
right.
is the goal.
Right.
You know, I think about the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and how, you know, the slogan, friends don't let friends drive drunk, that came about, and now it's just a part of the conversation. Like, designated driver
right.
is just part of the conversation.
Right.
And that's why I absolutely think we need to start with educating children younger about mental health and mental illness and what is it, and that it's a biological-based illness.
Right.
It's not something to run away from scared. And children are open-minded, and they get
yep.
it. So I think if we continue to message and talk to and explain and educate, starting with children, by the time they get to be teenagers and 20s, it's just going to be like, that's the goal, is that it's just another conversation. That you can just easily say, I'm going to the dentist after work, I'm going to my therapist after work. It's just a conversation that's just accepted
right.
and understood.
And a lot of times there's a trigger. Person has the chemical imbalance of the brain
mm-hmm.
and hasn't, and some people go through their whole life and it never triggers. But they have it, but they don't, you know, they don't know they have it because nothing happens, you know. I know there was a man who was married, had two kids, had a very, very high-paying, way-up-ladder job, and he lost his best pen and crashed because he lost his best pen. That was his trigger. Wound up in the state hospital for many, many months, lost his family, you know, job, you know, he's in a halfway house now. And, you know, it's sad. It really is. But there are triggers, and, you know, I don't know what triggered my son. I can't, you know, back that way, but, you know, something must have triggered it, you know. And
for everyone, it's different.
Yep,
it's different.
Exactly.
And that's what we're finding a lot of times with anxiety disorder. You know, a lot of times, and you see it a lot with children. You see it a
yeah.
lot with children.
Right.
They try, and in adults with anxiety disorder, they try so hard to keep it together. You'd see a child with anxiety disorder and be like, that kid's great. He smiles, he laughs,
yeah.
he's great. Because when he comes home is when everything falls apart.
Right.
And that's what you don't know all the time what someone presents with. So one of my favorite quotes is like, treat everyone kindly because you never know what battles they're fighting. And it's absolutely true.
True.
And so just like you're talking about that man, it was the pen, but it was the pen and it wasn't
right,
the pen.
Right, it wasn't the pen.
It's
but,
just
you
like,
know.
You know, with children, it was the math test, but it wasn't the math test. So
right.
you really don't know what someone is going through. So it's important to reach out and make sure that people know, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
if you are going through this, you can come talk to me. If
right.
you don't want to talk to me, come talk to NAMI. Come
right.
talk to NAMI 100.
Right.
There's people here who are willing to talk to you.
Right. We have to take another quick break.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Advancing Hunterton is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterton County's businesses. Advancing Hunterton engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterton, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterton.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have Meredith Mason Blanc, who is the executive director of NAMI New Jersey, here, and we've been talking about some of the programs and different things that NAMI does. What is the relationship between NAMI New Jersey and NAMI National?
Sure. So NAMI National is our mother organization, if you will. They set the agenda and the advocacy agenda and has created what we call signature programs. These are programs that are created by NAMI National, vetted, evidence-based. So, and then we become trained in these programs and then implement them throughout the state.
Okay.
So some of these programs are the Family to Family program right. that we've been speaking about, Basics, the Family Support Group, our Connection Group, which is similar to Family Support. It's a support group for individuals living with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to get that support, that peer-to-peer support, where you walk in a room and someone just understands you, as well as In Our Own Voice, which is an amazing program.
Yes.
And In Our Own Voice, they actually just revised it a little bit, same intent, but new videos. And it tells the story of a person living with mental illness and their journey from what started when they finally got diagnosed and how they're working with it now. And what I like about it, like we were mentioning, it doesn't prescribe this is the one way you
right.
work with it. It has people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, a stay-at-home mom, a doctor, talking about their experiences and how they are dealing with their diagnosis, whatever that is. So I would encourage people to reach out to NAMI Hunterton or NAMI at the state organization to ask for an In Our Own Voice presentation. We can have In Our Own Voice presentations at schools, at your office, at a public meeting, at a PTO, and this is a traveling show, if you will.
Right.
It's appropriate for any audience. We're telling the story about what it is to have a mental illness, and it's not something that you should run away and hide from. It's something that you should look for help with, and we can support
right.
that. So that's kind of the relationship. We have NAMI National, NAMI State, and
okay.
then from the state we have 19 local affiliates that cover every county in New Jersey. And so wherever you are listening to this, there's in Vietnam, New Jersey County is covered by an affiliate. And most of them have the same programs. Most every county has family to family. And the way they implement it is really regionalized, because what works in Cumberland may not work in Bergen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's great about the local affiliate.
Right.
Is that you know your community and you know what works for your community. And right. That's where NAMI is.
You know, in our own voice, recently, a couple of years ago, I guess now, a younger woman started doing it. And she's on our NAMI board. And it's nice because she would team up with one of my best friends who also does it. And, you know, people say, oh, the mental illness, what are you going to... He's a chief financial officer of a very large corporation. And, you know, so he and he's obviously older and the other girl is younger. So it's great because it's a, you know, they're a good team together because it's the younger woman and, you know, the older fella and, you know, it's, and we do it through the family class too. Every family, less than 10 of the family class is in her own voice. And I'll tell you, it is just amazing how the audience in the class are just flabbergasted by, you know, it, and they just love it, you know.
Right.
So.
And it helps, the diversity of it. So sometimes people think of mental illness and they think of this narrow little box.
Right.
But it's not. It affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're above or below a certain socioeconomic status, you're not immune. Everyone is affected by it.
Right.
And so many times after we have an interim voice presentation, we have, you know, as the presenter is cleaning up, you always have someone coming up and saying, thank you, because I feel like you understand me. And so it's good to have, to have that, to give that person the opportunity to say, okay, I'm not alone. And that, again, just keep saying it. You're not alone with NAMI. You're absolutely not alone.
Right. And I understand that, you know, we do different programs, but there's programs in different languages too, isn't there?
Right. So NAMI New Jersey is, I would say, on the cutting edge of multicultural programs, which we're very proud of. And obviously that started under Sylvia Axelrod, the past executive director for NAMI New Jersey. So right now we have 4 multicultural programs. One is called Act Now, and that reaches out to the African-American community. We have CAMHOP, which reaches out to the Chinese-American community, SAMHAJ, which is the South Asian-American community, and then NAMI en Español, that reaches out to the Hispanic community who speak in Spanish. You know, there's lots of different cultures, but
Right. Combining
with the Spanish language. So we have these programs. Right now, they are offered across the state, but we want to expand them. So what would I would encourage, if there's a town or an affiliate that is looking to get these programs in, to let us know. Because we're really looking to make sure that we have cultural competence in the work that we do, to make sure that we have programs for people everywhere in the state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the programs that we're really proud of, is our multicultural programs.
I understand we talked earlier, before the show, about wanting to do more to expand your work with veterans.
Right.
You want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So similar to our multicultural programs, what NAMI National is actually looking at is a targeted reach to veterans. Because, again, that is a community who they, as a group, are used to taking care of other people. They are the ones that they pride themselves that I am here to take care of others. And what we want to make sure veterans know is that you deserve a place to get taken care of too. And so that's what NAMI wants to do. And so we're looking to create our Veterans Council to reinvigorate it and start our meetings again. So if you're interested in reaching out and supporting the veteran community, I would encourage you to call our office and let us know, because we'll be starting the Veterans Council. And what we're really looking to do with that is to see how NAMI New Jersey can better support veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans have given their time, their lives, their families to serving our country, and now we want to make sure that we are here for them when they come home as well.
Right. And, you know, it's ironic because post-traumatic stress was always attributed to veterans, you know. And they did quite a few surveys, And they found that, and I don't want to exaggerate, say, let's say 65% of the veterans with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, never saw combat. And they think, well, how did that happen? You know, well, in the military, everything's regimentated. You know, you get up at a certain time, you shower at a certain time, you go to breakfast at a certain time, you go exercise at a certain time, you go, you know, shoot to go to the firing range at a certain time. And this, your whole day is regimentated. Mm-hmm. When they get discharged, especially if they're married or they have children, or even if they don't, if they're not married, now they're on their own. Mm-hmm. What do I do? You know, how do I handle it? Like, you know, I used to be able to get up at this and do it, but now I, you know, and so it's... causes post-traumatic stress. And it's not only for veterans, it's firefighters, EMTs, first responders, you know, police officers, you know. And it's unfortunate that it spreads. Back in World War II, it's called shell shock, you know, but that was post-traumatic stress, what they call it now. But it was shell shock back in, you know, World War II. And it's, I think it's wonderful that we are doing something to help people with post-traumatic stress. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, veterans or police officers or firemen or whatever. The average person can have post-traumatic stress. You know, they can lose their marriage or whatever, or crash their brand new car for whatever reason, or, you know, or lose a child or, you know, whatever, death in the family. And, you know, it can cause it.
And trauma is a very... personal experience.
Right, exactly.
So what's traumatic with one may not be traumatic to another, but you can't judge that either.
No.
And they're actually looking at changing, and I might be behind, instead of post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a syndrome maybe. It's something, it's not something, again, that you should be ashamed of. It happens. And when trauma happens, it's shown that it changes. It
right.
changes the physiology
right.
of a person.
Right.
And again, we want to reach out to, as you're saying, veterans, first responders, people who typically take care of others,
mm-hmm.
to say you're allowed to take care of yourself.
Right.
You can seek help,
right.
and in a non-judgmental zone, and that's what we're here for.
Right. We've got about 2 minutes left. If you would like to give a Facebook page or website or phone number that
Absolutely.
Folks could reach out to if they have any questions or anything like that.
That's great. Thank you so much. So NAMI, New Jersey, we are located in Central Jersey. So our phone number is 732-940-0991. And our website is obviously www.naminj.org. So it's NAMINJ.org.
Okay.
And our number again is 732-940-0991. And I want to encourage people to definitely give us a call. Check out our website. We are on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And reach out to us if you have questions, because we try to keep resources for places across the state. So we get calls all the time from people across the state looking for their local NAMI or looking for resources
right.
in that area.
Right. Meredith, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting
me. I'm going to have you back again, I promise.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Yeah. And remember, folks, we'll be here next week. Same time, same station, and mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer.
USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5...
President Trump is on his way to Hanoi, Vietnam for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president's son, Donald Trump Jr., tells Fox News he believes his father is going to do what he does best.
He's going to negotiate for the American people. I mean, you know, he's made incredible strides and progress in terms of just eliminating some of this nuclear proliferation, the testing that's been going on.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vote on Tuesday on a resolution aimed at blocking President Trump's national national emergency declaration at the southern border.
To let the executive branch get away with this assault on the Constitution, we would be delinquent in our duties to the oath of office that we take.
The bill is likely to pass in the Democratic-led House, but fail in the Republican-led Senate. The NTSB says a second body has been recovered after an Amazon Prime air cargo jet nosedived into waters just off the Houston shore yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved. And it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The September 11th Victims Compensation Fund is running out of money and the Justice Department is threatening to slash even more funding. On Capitol Hill on Monday, 9/11 advocate John Stewart rallies to fund health care for those who are still experiencing health issues as a result of the attacks.
They're not pawns. They're not people to be played with. Do the right thing and do it in a manner that respects the 18 years that they've suffered through this.
Stewart was speaking there on Fox News. And listen up if you're in South Carolina or maybe have a friend in South Carolina. The winner of the $1.4 billion lottery jackpot in South Carolina, where that winning ticket was sold, has yet to come forward, which also means the state could also be a big loser. The state already had plans for the estimated $61 million that the winner would be paying in state income taxes and other taxes. The deadline to claim that winning lottery ticket is 5 p.m. on April 19th. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States and the Ad Council.
Currently, there are 10 states where recreational marijuana is legal and an additional 23 states where it can be used for medical purposes. As marijuana becomes more and more legal, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel explains a new syndrome that's starting to show up at many hospitals.
You know, we use marijuana to decrease nausea and pain medicinally, medically. But as is in anything in medicine, when you start using a lot of it, you get the reverse effect than you actually want. So this is for chronic pot smokers out there, places where it's recreational. We see a ton of this in Colorado, by the way, in flooding emergency rooms. Probably over 3 million people in the United States are affected. Because what happens is the pot, when you start using a lot of it, turns off the receptors in the nerves that are supposed to suppress nausea and pain. So you're nauseous, you're in pain, and the only thing that works for this is hot showers. It floods the receptors, it turns them back on, you go back to normal, but you got to be in the shower for 6 hours. Guess what the cure is? Stop smoking pot.
And regarding the long-term effects of pot, Dr. Siegel tells Fox News,
I talk a lot about long-term effects in terms of behavioral changes, judgment, how you do on exams, effects on the lungs. This is a big one, and I'll tell you the biggest take-home here. People misdiagnose this all the time. Tucker, people have had their gallbladders taken out by mistake because they come to an emergency room vomiting uncontrollably, and even doctors are not used to this.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The meeting in Trump's hometown could happen in September during the UN General Assembly.
Halo Top, the ice cream that averages between 280 and 360 calories per pint, is defending itself against allegations that it's skimping on its pints. Halo is being sued by consumers who say they're not getting a full pint of ice cream. Meanwhile, the company says they would never purposely underfill their pints. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Police in Boise, Idaho say a man went on a stabbing rampage at an apartment complex he was thrown out of. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has more.
Police Chief William Bones says the suspect, Timmy Kinner, targeted a three-year-old's birthday party.
Due to his behavior, he had been asked to leave. Kinney had done so. He returned last night to exact vengeance, not just on those that he had been with as they were not at the apartment, but at any time.
Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects.